You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This episode is brought to you by ServiceNow, the AI platform for business transformation. AI is only as powerful as the platform it's built into. Enter ServiceNow. It puts AI to work for people, for employees, for developers, and even your customers, removing frustration and supercharging productivity. On our intelligent platform, AI isn't just a promise. It's happening today. That's why the world works with ServiceNow. To learn more, visit servicenow.com/AI for people.
Sorry, you came to this conclusion?
No, we did. We did. I was originally going to move from... who was I moving on?
Sid's missing a lot out of this story here.
That's when I rang you on the Sunday morning to think about it. So do you want to take credit for getting me an injury-prone player in Danny Ings to my team?
Football show.
Hello everybody and welcome to Planet Sky FF, the world where everything revolves around £50,000. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
And finally, James, we get to record our favourite podcast of the week about fantasy football anyway.
Wednesday, best day of the week.
We can talk
a game that we actually enjoy and are not abysmal at.
It's been okay.
We're average.
It's been okay. How was your week for your main team?
The week was not too bad. I've had a rise. 99 points this week. I'm flake with that, my friend. Which has risen me to 7,800 overall.
Total points, 600 earned.
Oh, you're fucking testing me now, aren't you, boy?
I just need to know how many ahead of me you are.
616.
Okie dokie. That's 18 points ahead of me.
It's nothing. It's about the same as it was last week, no?
It's about a Stuart Dallas captaincy.
So... I had to make three changes this week. Well, I say had to. I had to make two changes, in my opinion. I moved Raul Jimenez to Kevin De Bruyne on the Saturday after Jimenez's captaincy blank on the Friday. He was also basically a blank for Gator, although at least there was 3 points rather than 1 point from him this game week. Captain De Bruyne on the Saturday for a 10-pointer. I moved Pulisic and Antonio due to injuries on the Sunday to Gabriel and Dominic Calvert-Lewin. My reasoning for going Dominic Calvert-Lewin as opposed to a Danny Ings was I had cover in Tarik Lamptey for the Friday night, and I also knew that it was going to cost me extra to move Ings probably to Liverpool, then on to Calvert-Lewin possibly even. So I just decided forward thinking, planning, looking at Calvert-Lewin for that Fulham fixture that's coming up in a couple of weeks and thinking, do you know what? I am going to need an Everton player there. I'm confident that game is going to be the Sunday or the Monday. It's basically, it's a 1 in 7 chance it will be the Saturday. So I think Everton will end up being the standout captaincy for that fixture. So it's a longer term move, saving me a couple of transfers, particularly on the basis that I was already making a couple of transfers here that I didn't really want to be making. I wanted to be in a position where I was going to captain Antonio against Fulham this coming week, for example. Interestingly, when with Pulisic, that originally, had I not worked in a different solution or not got in Kevin De Bruyne, for example, on the Saturday, i.e. if I'd end up going Jimenez to Ings, I would have stuck the captaincy on Pulisic on the Saturday as well, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's shit transpired against me, but also transpired for me. And I realised, obviously, there's so many of us in this position at the moment with injuries, which includes myself currently, because Tarik Lamptey is the only coverage I've got for Friday and he may not even be fit. And I don't particularly want him in the squad at the moment, even though he scored on Sunday against Tottenham. Grealish, 16 points. That came from nowhere. Well done to Luke Disable. I saw that he captained him on Sunday.
He did.
That's a fucking differential, mate. Kane, captaincy. Calvert-Lewin's goal. Gabriel, who is looking a solid buy, right? 9 pointer. No passing, yep. No passing tier this week.
Got tackle tier, didn't he?
Tackle tier. Should have got red card tier as well. Was quite lucky not to. But the reason he never got passing tier was kind of what I alluded to on yesterday's podcast, was that for so long in that game, particularly in the first half, Manchester United couldn't even get into Arsenal's half. So he was never on the ball. That's not going to happen in too many games. Dallas, captaincy on the Monday. Worked out, obviously, not too badly. I'm looking while I've got the armband on Bruno, but that's for next week, isn't it? For Saturday,
yeah,
potentially.
You're already,
four
week.
Points from Andy Robertson, passing tier one, no clean sheet again. Blank from Heung-Min Son, which those ones hurt at the moment because that double Spurs is what's kind of been pulling me past people.
Yeah, of course.
So up into the top 8K, slowly crawling, it's going okay. I'm not in a bad position as many others who have got many injury dilemmas, and I think we've probably already made our best Sky decision of the week, because the timestamp is, it's coming 11:40 a.m. in the morning, and we were going to start recording at 11 o'clock, and I said to Suj, hold on, Ralph Hasenhüttl is about to go into a press conference, and Danny Ings has been ruled out for at least 4 to 6 weeks. He said in his press conference, it's not good news. No shit.
That's very, very
That's
difficult.
Understatement of the week.
I ended the week on 110 points, James. So I'm up into the 12Ks now from 20K, which is a very decent rise for me. On the Friday night, I had Patricio captain. I sold Antonio for Zaha on the Friday with no intention of captaining Zaha. I decided to keep the armband on Patricio just because Wolves had been defensively quite solid. I'd had the armband on him for ages, and what I'd done the previous week is move the armband onto Rodriguez when I knew he was fit and going to play, and I never liked moving the armband last minute. I had it on Patricio for a reason, kept it on him, got rewarded with 18 points, and Zaha just a one-pointer. I'll stick with Zaha for the next 4 weeks now. I've got no reason to really move him on. They've got decent fixtures.
They have.
So Antonio to Zaha was one of my transfers. Pulisic, I then made moves to get rid of Pulisic for Gabriel, and I moved on Mo Salah for Danny Ings. Reason being, gave me two games of Danny Ings plus the captaincy on Friday night, and then I could decide I've got enough money to go from Danny Ings to Kevin De Bruyne, so I would have got two games plus a captaincy and skipped Mo Salah's game against Man City. And
sorry, you came to this conclusion?
No, we did. We did. I was originally going to move from who was I moving on?
Suj is missing a lot out of this story here.
That's when I rang you on the Sunday morning to think about it. So do you want to take credit for getting me an injury-prone player in Danny Ings to my team? But ultimately, yeah, Patricio 18 points. Robbo, you mentioned 4. I had the same Dallas captaincy. Lamptey's goal. Gabriel did okay. Zaha and Fernandez now sitting on my teams off blanks is a bit of an irritation, but so be it. Grealish, Kane captaincy, Danny Ings, Raheem Sterling was my captain on the Saturday that failed. So I now have Lamptey injured and Ings injured, which was both of my coverage for Friday night. If
you won't be alone,
if they are both not playing, I'm just going to skip it.
Yeah, that's my instincts as well.
And the original plan was to move from Danny Ings to Kevin De Bruyne on the Sunday for that game. I'll probably still do that. The truth is, like, Kevin De Bruyne in the game on Saturday he was just controlling the game that I like. I didn't actually check what he did in terms of tier points and stuff. Maybe not.
No.
But he could easily have been. It wouldn't surprise me if he was close to all the tiers but didn't get over the line on any tiers, because his passing and creativity was there to be seen. So I want Kevin De Bruyne back in my team. So then I'll have Sterling and De Bruyne, which actually sets me up not badly for moving forward.
Because this part of this move you did has opened up to go to De Bruyne now, am I right in saying
from
that?
From Ings, yeah. I've got enough money to do Ings to De Bruyne on Sunday, job done.
Do it.
and that's it. And then I'll just ride it out. From there, I don't want to make any more transfers because I've made
that's
six
what
now.
You was going to do anyway.
Yeah,
right?
I was going to, and I would have just, the advantage was I got captaincy out of Ings. But
I feel so like I might have planned this for you as well.
No, we talked about it as being an option.
Where were you on Sunday?
Because my other alternative is Sterling to Kevin De Bruyne if I don't want to double up on City assets. But after game week 10, it does look pretty good, so I may as well stick with it now.
Yeah, I'm to be honest, I'm trying to work out moves at the moment to get me more City. Not necessarily for this week. Mm. The real awkwardness at the moment is there is no great entry point with the Liverpool game Sunday. That's the entry point, really, is Liverpool this Sunday. But players that I would want to move on, potentially, like Calvert-Lewin, that's not when I want to move him on. I've got Calvert-Lewin in for something in a couple of weeks, for example. I wouldn't be in a position where I'd want to go double City and then go back to Everton because that's the beginning of their run. Anybody else? So Bruno is playing West Brom. That's a probable captaincy on a Saturday in match week 9. So anybody I'd think of moving on to add to City at the moment, I can't really be taking out at the moment. There's no great entry point.
No. And we also don't know how the pay-per-view televised games are going to be distributed as it stands at the moment in terms of captaincies and what have you, which is a bit irritating because, okay, we've got this international break following this weekend, but it'd be nice to know a little bit around.
The ones I want to move around from City to City, really, are Kane and Son.
Yeah.
Fire that into Sterling plus Diaz and then spread from there. But then I certainly ain't selling either of them before West Brom on Sunday when City are playing Liverpool.
No, of course.
Then the two of them play each other. Then City play Burnley the day before Tottenham play Chelsea. And that's what I mean. The entry points are not great.
No.
It's the entry point for City, ideally, would have been Sunday. With what I've got in my setup, it just doesn't really work.
No, you're not going to sacrifice that West Brom.
As I said,
the
teams you'd come off where you think, oh, there's the fixture game. Like Everton United playing each other Saturday, you think, okay, yeah, that's the right time to come off. They've got the best two fixtures in the following game week with Fulham and West Brom respectively. So you can't be making that move. The rest of the teams, you wouldn't have the budget money to move to Manchester City this week.
No.
So that's why I'd say the entry point's really difficult. The flip of that is, because the entry point's really difficult, I think a lot of people are going to end up running through this run with Man City and probably not getting to more than, say, just De Bruyne or just Diaz, probably until the Fulham fixture in game week 11. And if that ends up being the Sunday, when Liverpool will definitely play the Saturday, that's probably where people will really steam into it. Mm. But it might be that the Burnley fixture's been and gone and they've hammered it. The interesting concept with City-Liverpool is obviously because they're playing the same night in the Champions League, the games are invariably landed in the Premier League on the same day. And other than the Liverpool fixture against Fulham, City's always looks better.
Yep.
So there's a case potentially for going without Liverpool for a bit, but they hit that Fulham fixture and depending on what day of the week it falls, you're going to want some of Mo Salah and the rest there right? City play Manchester United that weekend. That weekend is one where it's possible they might land on different days as well.
This week, let's run down our captaincy this week. And then as always, we'll look at some of the Twitter questions that we have and what we're thinking. We're still early stages of the season, is like trying to keep your powder dry as much as possible. And then seeing where we go strategically in a little while. This Friday, like you mentioned, you only have Tarek Lamptey, so you're leaving the armband on Lamptey, and if it doesn't play, he doesn't play.
Yeah, I mean, my position on Lamptey at the moment is I'm looking to move him on anyway.
Yep.
Even
take
more.
Take the goal and run.
A little bit, yeah. I've taken the points. I was really not happy with it. I'd prefer Dallas to him as a longer-term choice. I don't see clean sheets in Brighton. There's something going on behind the scenes which is not right at the moment, and which we think means that Neil Maupay is going to miss out. But bearing in mind, depending on when you either listen or watch this later, Brighton's press conference is also scheduled for this afternoon around about 1:30. But I don't know how much information Potter will be giving away. We believe there's a rumour going around that Maupay's not even been going to training. So you'd be lucky if he turns out for your Friday night, I would suggest. If he's sub, I would just, if he's your only cover, for example, I would just stick the armband on him, leave him, hope he gets you 20 minutes and nicks you a goal.
Mm.
That would be the hope. No, I will almost certainly not be buying for this Friday if Lamptey's ruled out. Obviously, if he gets ruled out today, I've got 2 days to potentially hatch a plan and look at it. And there are some interesting options in terms of Vestergaard will be getting attention at Southampton for the, at the moment. The odd attacking return, capable of past here in a game like Newcastle. Obviously, James Ward-Prowse's performance at the weekend will have caught some notice.
Che Adams.
And he'll probably be on the penalties now. Che Adams is so interesting because of his price. The problem is, once you've gone beyond Friday for nearly all of these clubs, the chances are you'll be able to get two games of pretty much the teams who aren't playing Friday of someone else before these guys play again. Because the majority of them, so Southampton Wolves is one, Villa Brighton, these guys could end up being the Monday night in game week 9. And then you've got this guy in for a captain, he could have been having two games with someone else in between, quite possibly.
Same thing.
And we're punting. I mean, Che Adams is a brilliant price at 7.9. But as we spoke about yesterday, we have no understanding right now if it's good or bad for him in terms of will he take the mantra and think, right, I'm the man, I've got to go and perform, or could he think, where's my mate? This doesn't feel right. And we just don't know psychologically how that's going to work out or the impact on Southampton as a team either, because he's their talisman, he's their most important player. Yeah. Callum Wilson could be interesting for Newcastle. And the interesting thing of them is obviously they do play on the Saturday in game week 9. Admittedly, it's a difficult fixture against Chelsea. But then beyond that, they're following three fixtures, Palace, Villa and West Brom. Not bad. And all three of them fixtures could end up on any day of the week. Particularly the game week 10 Friday night against Palace. Basically, only two games, as I said last week, can land on that Friday night. Palace Newcastle is one of them. West Brom Sheffield United is the other. So it might be it might be with Newcastle, ironically, that you could end up with two captaincies. Southampton away and Palace away. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I think with those, we're just taking what we get, really, rather than trying to really fill our boots.
There's in game week 12, when they host West Brom, there are four games currently that could go into that into a Friday night slot, and that is one of them.
So, in answer to my question, who are you going to captain on Friday?
Tarek Lamptey.
I don't mind, because what you've probably done is killed off a few Twitter questions.
I think the best option, if you said, right, go and buy some for the game week, psh, do it, I'd go Adams, personally. Wilson might be the longer term play here. I would avoid Saint-Maximin. Yeah. I would avoid anything defensively Newcastle, because clean sheet or bust, they're not getting you tackle or passing tier in any game.
No.
So it would be reluctantly longer term pick would be Callum Wilson. Brighton's just not right at the moment. And Burnley would never consider anyone for this game that wasn't called Nick Pope, personally.
Saturday, who have you got the armband on at the moment?
So I'm probably going to be Bruno.
Yeah, me too.
But actually, the four players I've got, I will give consideration to all of them. I've got Gaeta and Dallas playing each other, and I suspect that will be low scoring.
Yeah.
Bruno and obviously Dominic Calvert-Lewin playing each other. I think the sensible play for me will be to go to Bruno just as an ownership protection and just take that. And if the others offer me something as differentials, brilliant. So I'm highly likely to go Bruno. I think the best choice for Saturday, if you happen to still be knocking about on it, is probably Timo Werner. At home to Sheffield United is probably the standout. If Mikel Antonio somehow makes a miraculous recovery and is declared fit to start, then it's him. You're still going to have some cojones to pull that. Even if David Moyes goes, he's available.
Are you still
going to have some cojones to
I'm not wasting a transfer to get him back in before the international break.
I would anticipate with, and it's worth saying that Pulisic has not been ruled out for Chelsea yet either. So they play in the Champions League tonight. Frank Lampard said yesterday that he obviously wouldn't play in the Champions League, but could be available for Sheffield United. If you're sitting there regretting that you sold him, please don't. I don't think he'll start. I'm in an FPL position where if he comes back for the Newcastle game, I'm quite happy with that. I certainly would not stick the armband on him. Even if Lampard says he's available, my instinct would be that he would probably be a substitute. So definitely wouldn't stick the armband on him.
I'm in a similar boat to you. Currently, the armband is bust on Bruno. I own Dallas and Zaha playing each other. Again, you think it's going to be low scoring.
I'd be tempted to go Zaha there, mate.
I'm not tempted to go Zaha. Just because he can really troll you.
That's why I'm glad I don't own him.
Yeah, I think with Bruno...
He hasn't done a lot of trolling this year, mate.
Bruno can easily... If Zaha scored a goal, but Bruno only picked up a pass tier 2 or something like that, I'd feel comfortable with that. I feel much more confident in Bruno picking up one of the tier points or maybe a couple of tier points than risking it on Zaha. I feel it's a safer bet.
Wilfried Zaha on Saturday against Leeds will either be a one-pointer or a double-pointer.
Yeah.
I would bet. He'll either destroy them on the counter-attack or they'll kick lumps out of him and he'll get the needle and get booked. I would probably side on the needle and get booked.
Yeah, me too. That's why I think I'll stick with a safe option of Bruno. And on the Sunday, I mean, there's so much choice on the Sunday, but can you look past Harry Kane and West Brom? If you've got any of the assets, you've got Villa away at Arsenal, Gabriel at home to Villa, City and Liverpool playing each other. Let's be honest, the reality is everybody owns Harry Kane.
If you're sitting there with Kane or Son, you're not going to not do it. You're going to get the team as well.
Yeah.
As an even added bonus to know that they're starting, which I'm certain they will. I wouldn't expect either of those two players to play in Bulgaria tomorrow night. So, yeah, Harry Kane for me. It definitely Kane over Son for me, by the way. I've obviously got both.
So, I think that's where we are with captaincy. Should we have a look at some of these Twitter questions?
Yes,
that we'll be
there's asked? A few good ones in there.
Is there?
Yeah.
Which ones? There's 30. I think this has gradually been increasing. Maybe because you put the tweet out earlier. I don't know. Maybe there's more FPL managers.
It's all about the timing, mate. It's all about send shit out just after Diogo Jota's gone mental in the Champions League and people got their fantasy hats on.
Mm. A nice little hat trick there. You did say that the home and away games for Liverpool in the Champions League against Atalanta would be the real test. Well,
they passed that.
We're flying colours. Right, I'm going to start at the bottom and work my way up. FPL Badger Mark, would you consider a Sterling KDB double up for the Burnley, Fulham, West Brom period, or would it throw too much imbalance in the rest of your team? Well, I already own Sterling and I'm moving from Ings to KDB, so the answer is yes. And actually, you mentioned about Diaz as a triple up. I own Diaz in my second team. He's not a bad shout. If I had the money to go from Lamptey to Diaz, I'd do it.
Well, one of the reasons I want to move Lamptey is I know that should I be in a position to want to go to Diaz, I am going to be sitting there with a restricted 5-3-2, which isn't the worst thing, but it's not really where I want to be. So the idea is trying to think of what I can do to move Lamptey. Now, the obvious one to move Lamptey on after Friday actually is Matt Kilman of Wolves at 5.3 million.
Is he Matt or Max?
Matt, isn't it?
Is it Max? It's Max.
M. Kilman.
Okay.
I'm not sure now.
It's Max.
You've made me question.
Relatively confident that
if I just
Max.
Say it quick, no one knows if I'm saying Matt or Max anyway.
Kilman. Just call him Kilman.
Kilman at 5.3 is obviously really interesting. But that 0.7, if I decide to do that, basically allows me Sterling and Salah together as the two in a 5-3-2, which is potentially interesting once I move off Calvert-Lewin after they play Fulham, if that's what I decide to do.
We're both wrong, James. It's not Matt. It's not Max. It's Maximilian. That is Max.
Maximilian Kilman. Isn't Max Aaron's Maximilian as well?
They're all Maximilians.
Okay, Sujan. I've forgotten the original question. Oh, fitting Man City players in.
Fitting in double.
So what I'm leaning towards at the moment is the idea of going to, and there's no fixture gain on this, but I think most won't do this, is moving from Kane to Sterling when City play Burnley in match week 10 on the Saturday. Kane's away to Chelsea on the Sunday. Ideally, you'd avoid them two fixtures the other way round from a Sky
perspective.
Of
course, yeah.
But so it means no gain on the game, but might well be a gain in points on the weekend, and then the following week, City have got Fulham. One of the reasons I'm thinking to do that, rather than make the direct change when they play each other the previous weekend on the Saturday night, is at least then I'll have the information of what City have done in the midweek games.
Yep.
So
in terms of rotation, will they get
all
rotated?
Of that? Yep. Yeah. So being the unusual situation to go, okay, ordinarily we'd want to go a week earlier and get the gain on the fixture, but this might be one where it's the right decision to go on the day and have the information there and then, what's the injury status is, who played in midweek, who played last week. And listen, you can guess with Pep and get it completely wrong, but the closer I go to kickoff to make the decision, the more chance I've got of getting it right. And it might be that Sterling's played against Tottenham, played in the Champions League, and I think I don't feel confident about that, and then go to Diaz. It might even be that at the time, I think Riyad Mahrez is 8.9 okay. or 9.9.
It's cheap.
My Skype's not working at the moment. I don't know if you can get on it. I can't even get on the app at the moment. But it might be I decide to go Mahrez. Might be I decide to go Diaz. It could even be that Phil Foden is a decent price as well, that I'd consider that as a possibility. So my thoughts of entering City unusually for Sky is to look at it and perhaps think of doing it without the games and just go, this is the right transfer for my team. Let me, if it was an FPL and you were going, right, Sterling is playing Burnley this week, Kane has got Chelsea away, considering Chelsea look like they've improved a lot defensively with Mendy now in goal, would you make that transfer?
Yeah, you would.
So the principal idea is, why shouldn't we make that transfer for Sky?
Correct. Yeah, and then you have the backup follow-up of Fulham and West Brom and what have you.
It might be in the case of FPL, by the way, that plenty of people wouldn't, because perhaps the value they've got for Kane. Of course, it's a different, maybe. Different but just as a straight, if you remove value, which obviously we do in this game, would you make that? Kane's away to Chelsea, Sterling's at home to Burnley. Which player do you want?
Yeah.
And we always try and avoid those transfers in Sky, but this might be one where it's definitely worth it because of what comes afterwards as well. Then it's Fulham at home as well. Then it's United away. Then it's West Brom at home. And he's got to go off in one of these games.
For sure.
They all have, probably. Mm. And that's why I kind of want to load on them if I can. But no thoughts to do it this particular Sunday. But to answer Mark's question, yeah.
Just get them in.
Get involved.
KDB, Diaz or both, says Sam, Sky FF. Exactly the same conversation that we just had.
And Sterling and Mahrez, exactly. And Foden and Laporte and Edison.
Kermit the Winger, Sky FF. Is Vestergaard a regular for Southampton?
Yes, definitely. Now, they've improved defensively since he came into the team. I still think he's a bit of a lumbering lump. He's decent in the air. He looks a lot calmer than the player that I saw play for them last year, who pretty much got bombed out of the team. So he's jumped ahead of Stevens in the pecking order, and Bednarek's going to be a doubt as well. They might even advise on medical advice that he doesn't play that game Friday, Bednarek.
So stick with Vestergaard.
So I presume I'm going to guess the question on that is based in terms of, can I buy him and captain him this week? It's not the worst one, but it wouldn't be for me personally. No. Bertrand might be out as well.
Gareth Hutchison says, be serious, do you enjoy Sky more?
Yes.
I'd probably say yes. It helps when you're winning, but yes, without a doubt.
Well, we're not winning, but 7,000 versus 4 million better. Is a bit of a difference, isn't it? Every week, I even said this yesterday, 32 points in FPL. Just another 99 in Sky.
Fish FPL is in a difficult situation, James, but I don't know if we can fully answer this. I currently have Ings, Pulisic and Antonio. What the hell do I do? I bought Ings in for the Villa game. Well, firstly, we know Ings is 4 to 6 weeks. Pulisic could be fit for the weekend. Antonio, we don't know. So Ings, you definitely got to move him on and find your value there. Pulisic, if you wanted to hold, you probably could. And Antonio, you've got the international break after this week. It depends. The problem with questions like this is we don't know how many other transfers we've got, what captaincy coverage you've got, and so on and so on. It's a bit hard to advise when you don't really know. So firstly, obviously, wait for the pressers and get the information. Check what other captaincy coverage you have and think a little bit longer term. So if you're moving someone on, be happy to keep them for a little while rather than think you're going to jump off. But it is hard to advise in those kind of situations.
You're not going to like the answer to the question. The answer to the question really is they should already be gone.
Yeah.
Is probably
but
the things
you can
answer.
Understand. We got the news today, finally. But
I can understand both of them to a certain extent in terms of Moyes was a little cagey on Antonio. Mm. I just think personally, the wider reports seem to suggest that he'd probably be out for a month.
Yeah.
Lampard's initial assessment on Pulisic was like, he ain't going to be playing against Sheffield United the following week. Move it on. So ideally, they would have gone. You might have found that a lot more difficult if you were sitting there with Danny Ings, but I think it's one I'd even looked at and gone, do I want these two fixtures of someone like Heung-Min Son? Admittedly, that wouldn't have paid off for you, actually, but I think there were moves probably to be made. What do you do with them now? well, now you'd wait till Saturday unless you feel... I think that's probably one where you might want to consider using one of them cheap as the captaincy option for Friday. Mm. So perhaps Ings to Che Adams, for example, would then open you up doors to look at perhaps more expensive players like Sterling or Diaz or people you can't currently get to. Because if you can now make Manchester City the entry point on Sunday by manoeuvring that, maybe you can. Maybe one option there is to look at Kilman and De Bruyne, for example, or Kilman and Sterling, rather than splitting them equally. I'm sure that would work from a financial if you looked at those two players in together, and that's probably worth considering. I would say Kilman now is safe for Wolves.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
He's not. Don't be blinded by the fact he got a passing tier against Newcastle. Like anybody can on their day against Newcastle. So he's not going to get many passing tiers. Their fixtures are a dog for a sustained period. It's never awful.
But it's cheap.
It's never awful, but it's never good. So you're only looking at the clean sheets. I don't think there will be many, but as you say, it's cheap. And the other thing with Wolves is they are reliable. Mm. If anybody can in these games be picking up clean sheets, they're the sort of club that
they
will.
Are.
So you shouldn't look too beyond it. Ait Nouri at 5.5, I would stay away from at the moment. I know he looked quite promising and exciting in that position on Friday, but I'd stay away from that at the moment until someone said that Markel was definitely out, which is something we only hear as a maybe every week ongoing at the moment.
Let's answer a couple of questions in one go, James. So Glenn Roy says, are you or have you moved Pulisic on? We have.
Yep.
But the question is then Diaz, Chilwell or Zouma? But PM says, is Zouma or Chilwell the safer choice? Talk to me about Chelsea defenders and Zouma or Chilwell.
For Sky, my preference would be Zouma. He had a habit of picking up passing tiers last season, actually. You need to be conscious that Rudiger is kind of back in and amongst the squad now. But I don't see him coming into the team anytime soon. Thiago Silva is going to be managed. You might find in some of these easier fixtures that Thiago Silva gets left out, so I wouldn't consider him. Chilwell obviously brings the extra attack in. Zouma's also a unit from set plays, right? We've got 3 goals already, Zouma.
Yeah.
I mean, defenders are going to start targeting him, going, okay, he's the main man stopping Eder in the ball. Although that should be obvious anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. People do have weird things like John McGinn marking Vestergaard at set pieces. It does happen for some reason. I would prefer Zouma. Mm. They're both going to get rotated at certain points, I think. I think Zouma is probably the player that will play the most minutes, if that helps, for Chelsea during this season defensively. That would be my impression at the moment. You have to remember with Chilwell that Alonso and Emerson are still at the club. They're in the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
In some of these fixtures where you might want to stick the armband on him, those might be the fixtures where Lampard goes, I can afford to play Alonso today. That's the scary bit. Or I can play Azpilicueta at left back or Reece James at right back. We've spoken about this before. That's going to be an ongoing issue every week with Chelsea players. You've got James in FPL and you've decided, do you know what? I'm going to take the 8 points, you know, against United or whatever you had. If it's going to be a 1 point, so be it. In Sky, you can't really afford that the same way.
No.
You want to know that these guys are going to play in the fixtures that you would consider captaining them in.
Yeah.
It's worth saying Chelsea don't have too many of them. Looking ahead all the way through in terms of my planning for Chelsea, I would say it's very conceivable that I wouldn't have an armband on any of their players for the rest of this year as it stands currently. That would be just slightly dependent on where Leicester and Everton's fixtures land in game week 10, as it might be that Chelsea actually ironically against Tottenham on that Sunday might be of interest to you. But then Manchester United are playing Southampton the same day, so if you're sitting there with Bruno, if you're going to go Bruno, I think, aren't you? Or even if you were sitting there with the Tottenham players, you would arguably go Kane over Chilwell, wouldn't you, maybe?
Yeah.
If you were sitting in that position, for example. So the flip of that is, yes, you might not actually have the captaincies considered them at all for the remainder of this season, but that's probably why now they're not on my radar as such. Mm-hmm. Pulisic was partly in terms of this three-game period that started last week, and think in that period I might need it. Looking ahead with the fixtures they've got and the way they may map out,
don't need it.
You probably don't.
Mm. A question coming in from Ron at Mintz at Sky FF. And this is a good one, James. What price, it's a question for you, is Tzufal in Sky?
6.1.
Yeah.
And I can't even get on the app.
What are your thoughts on Tzufal as an enabler?
You answer that.
Very good. For a couple of reasons. Locked in. Good run of fixtures coming up. Does overlap and get forward and put crosses in. I think Tzufal is all right. He is prone to a cheeky little yellow card is the only thing. I don't know how many he's picked up, but he is. But I don't know how many tier points he has or hasn't got. But I think he's not bad. At 6.1, what do you expect? He's cheap. You want a locked-in fullback who's bombing forward. I don't think it's a bad shout.
Do you prefer him over Lamptey?
They're similar, I would say. Like, if Lamptey is out for 4 weeks or something, then I think it's a very good sideways move. Lamptey at 0.1 cheaper is a better shout, but I don't think Tzufal is a bad shout as an enabler. Decent.
Tzufal had tackle tiers against Tottenham and Manchester City.
When you got Cancelo and Son and stuff bombing at you, he's going to have to make a few tackles in those games.
Well done, sir. You've nailed it.
Yeah, no doubt. But he'll get more opportunities to go forward because he also had a couple of assists this season so far. So
one, I believe, Sig.
The own goal against your lot, he put the cross in for Davinson Sanchez, and I'm sure he picked up one other assist, didn't he? Maybe I'm imagining things.
Two, sir.
Okay.
You can have the two, yeah. Assist in the own goal. Yeah, I mean, well, yeah, counts, you get it.
You get the points.
Even in Sky, you get it. You get the points. It's very true. It's very true. Would you prefer Tzufal over Kilman?
What price is Kilman? I don't
5.3.
No. That's a lot of money to save. A lot of money to save.
I think a lot of people be put off Kilman because they're already sitting there with Patricio's on the line.
I was going to say the same thing. I won't buy Kilman because I own Patricio. I don't really want to double up.
So what's so... But at 5.3, aren't you better off thinking beyond the double up? We know there's guys out there who have gone with, say, Dallas and Ayling or Dallas and Meslier. I know there's a few that have even gone all three, for example, because they all offer decent value. That's why we sat there and thought about Ayling a lot at the overall period and going, well, if Dallas wasn't on the radar, we'd probably buy Ayling at 7. Mm. That was probably the point. So
the thing is now,
why can't you go Kilman and Patricio?
I'm moving. Well, we talked about coming out of the overhaul with a strategy that keeps us going for a long period without having to make transfers by having players from 8, 9, 10 different clubs. I'm going to end up with a Wolves double up, a City double up, and suddenly I'm doubling up here, there and everywhere.
But these might be the differences that get you
up top. Potentially, yeah. At some point,
the reality is that if we just sit there all season with coverage from 10 teams, that's probably not going to win you the game. The difference maker is going to be, at the right times, having three City players or three Liverpool players or Son and Kane together, for example. Or it might even be double Wolves defence, double Leeds defence. These sort of things are probably going to be the small differences that break you away from the rest that will get you from very good rank to great rank. So you have to consider these moves at some point. Can't just keep... I'm not going to bottle getting more than just Kevin De Bruyne in my team because Tarik Lamptey might cover me off a potential fucking captaincy. No, I think I'll skip it and go, no, I'm steaming in City.
Yeah, agreed.
Obviously, I can't sell Tarik Lamptey for Raheem Sterling, but you get the principle, I think.
Ultimately, he's not a bad player in Sky. If it fits your strategy and your team, like for me, if you don't want to double up on Wolves' defence, you can't have Tarik Lamptey. 6.1, he's not a bad price in the game. Have a look at how it fits with
the rest of the strategy. I was selling Lamptey, obviously after the fixture on Friday, I would be buying Kilman.
You don't own Wolves defence.
I think that would be the choice anyway. Yeah. So. Even with the tough fixtures. Because they're reliable.
Yeah. Right, let's have a look at a question from Man on FPL to both of you. If you had to create a team where you only had double ups, so we had to pick from five teams only between now and the rest of the season, and you had to make transfers just sticking within those teams, where would you go? I think Villa's one. Because there's good value there. Grealish, Barkley, Konsa, Ings, Watkins. They're all decent value. So, obviously, you're only picking five teams. You need to find one that's got good value players at decent prices.
City.
Yeah, City, Liverpool, obviously. Arsenal? Nah.
I'm more inclined to say Tottenham, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Wolves. Because you could have that, like Kilman and Patricio, for example.
Yeah.
Leeds.
Yeah, Leeds cheap.
Bamford's cheap. Mm. Click, interestingly, had Parsons here Monday night, obviously playing in a deeper role. We had a look back to see how often Calvin Phillips was picking him up. Not often, actually. So I would probably say City, Liverpool, Tottenham, Leeds, Wolves would be the five for me.
Two more questions, James. There's a lot of questions around Pulisic and Ings and what have you, as we would expect. I skipped past one, so let me get back to it. FPO underscore pup. Do you put your milk in the tea before you've taken the tea bag out?
I'm a coffee kind of guy.
You don't drink tea at all, ever?
No, but wife does. Tea bag out first.
I'm both. Sometimes I'll take the tea bag out, and sometimes I won't.
Is that like sometimes you have a gin and tonic and you have two slices rather than one of lemon?
Yeah, maybe. I'll tell you what, though, right? If you've taken the tea bag out and you accidentally put a little bit too much milk in,
you're fucked.
You're fucked, because you don't then have the ability to go to the bin, take the bag out and put it back in your fucking cup of tea, do you?
No.
Whereas if you left it in there, you can squeeze the tea bag to make it strong enough just to the point that it's the right colour.
There's also quite a simple solution for that.
What?
Don't put too much fucking milk in.
Well, I mean, look, accidents happen.
Is it?
Yeah, accidents can happen. So there you go.
To be fair, the amount of times I fill up Harry's bottle and she'll go to me, 5 ounces. And there's fucking 7 to 8 in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We doing? I'm feeding him just a bit more than normal.
Everybody needs a cheat day.
Yeah, exactly.
Even 2-year-olds.
Yeah. He's Friday, let him have 8 ounces.
Does he get through it all as well?
If I gave him 20, he'd get through it, I think. Just give him the jug, he'd go for it, mate.
Yeah, and we'll leave the last question to Ian Parent, because this is an interesting question that can lead to a bit of a conversation. If you were given another overhaul this game week, how different would your team look compared to that of the actual one at the start of October?
Not hugely.
I think, yeah, you have to take into mind, into consideration, take the injury players out of your mindset.
I suspect that come Friday night, again, I'm going to be wishing that Nick Pope was my goalkeeper rather than Vicente Gaita. But I actually also think that's going to flip the other way in 2 or 3 weeks, where I'm going to be glad that he's Gaita. Mm. A little bit of probably acceptance that I probably should have gone Diaz rather than Robertson when I sold Van Dijk a couple of weeks ago. But that's neither here nor there. And yeah, I'm kind
that's
of.
Not, that's not your overhaul team. I'm just looking at my overhaul team now, and I like
it would,
my
it
overhaul
wouldn't have been
team.
Massively different.
I like my overall team more than I like my current team.
I would have picked Robertson rather than Van Dijk. That would have been handy. I wouldn't have bothered with Christian Pulisic, who was obviously part of it.
Yeah, perhaps he's one that I would have skipped.
I think Pulisic is one where I got sucked into, and a lot of us did, amazing price, and still amazing price. At some point this season, he's going to be brilliant for us. But being sucked into amazing price, thinking he's a long-term pick when I don't even know if he's really fit or not. And getting sucked into the value rather than taking, well, I need immediate points. And also thinking, as I'd highlighted, one of the reasons points I wasn't considering Chelsea at the time was I really didn't think there was going to be a lot of captaincy potential for them for the whole of 2020, and that still looks the case. So I wish I hadn't started with Pulisic. I wouldn't have made too many changes.
Yeah, looking at my team now, like Patricio, Van Dijk, Lamptey, Dallas, Antonio, Grealish, Pulisic, Rodriguez, Kane, Salah, Sterling. I like that team. I just know that right as it stands right now, Van Dijk, Lamptey, Antonio, Pulisic and Rodriguez have all got bloody flags on them. So I've had to make moves, and the moves you make, it's not like you can tear your whole team down and re-go back to your overhaul. But I do agree with you on Christian Pulisic, actually. He probably was a risk too far.
That's the one I wish had gone with Diaz rather than Pulisic. But at the time, the only information I had was a 2-pointer away to Leeds. But I think subconsciously I also should have known that I shouldn't judge games on, and I didn't judge it on Leeds, but then I didn't know what the capability of the player was in terms of other games. Is he definitely going to be first choice? How soon is Laporte going to be fit? All these things are always too easy to reflect on in hindsight. But yeah, Diaz is probably the one at his value that I wish I'd have started with at overhaul period, particularly as I didn't have De Bruyne at that point either. Yeah. That would have possibly meant that I'd captain Diaz this week, just gone. That's another 10 points, for example. But then I might be very grateful come Sunday that KDB's back in my team, right? And he won't be in a lot.
Yep.
So
agreed.
There's another player I just want to mention really briefly, just because I've been looking at ways to kind of come off Tariq Lamptey and how to shove funds about. And it's interesting that looking at that overhaul period, we spoke about midfielders so much. Antonio, James, Pulisic, Bruno, KDB, so many options. And the kind of consensual, I want like seven midfielders if possible, but I also need three forwards. But a lot of the midfields look the same. Antonio, James.
Correct.
Bruno, KDB, whatever. Yep. It was kind of a group of seven, eight players max. Generally was how it looked. Bar the odd differential. Now it feels like it's changing, partly because of the injuries, Antonio, Pulisic, James. Concerns about Bruno's form, although if you've got him with what's coming up, Southampton, West Brom, etc., we should be holding. But it's almost come full circle where I've now been looking at really budget, cheap midfielders. And I have identified one that's interesting and one to keep an eye on. And I wouldn't rule out buying him this week because it probably opens the door for me to have a very strong defence, which I wish I'd have been firmer about when there were so many goals at that overhaul period and gone with Gabriel and Diaz, etc. The way I think it's going to end up for me. The player of interest is Conor Gallagher at West Bromwich Albion. 6 million. Same price as Lamptey, ironically. But then it might be that after United play West Brom, the entry point then again for the City-Burnley game might be for me to look at Bruno to Diaz. That then possibly allows me, which I can't afford at the moment, Salah and Sterling as replacements for Kane and Son. The reason he's interesting, he's only played the three games for West Brom, obviously, since joining on loan from Chelsea. Tackle tier in each game. Tackle tier 1 v Burnley, tackle tier 1 v Brighton, tackle tier 2 v Fulham. Now, the judge on this is, and it's really difficult to know from those three fixtures, if he's capable of hitting the tackle tiers in harder coming games like Tottenham and Manchester United. But in principle, you would think less time without the ball, more capability more of making tackles, possibly. Yep. Which generally seems to be as a rule of thumb. Over the 3 weeks, across the whole of the Premier League, he's attempted more tackles than any other player. It's worth saying, he doesn't always win it. So there's going to be the odd booking in there as well. But would you, as principal idea, if Tariq Lamptey was to get you 4 points every week, would you accept that?
Sure.
Why not with this guy?
Yeah, it's worth a shout.
He's one possibly to keep an eye on, and it might also cover a dirty West Bromwich Albion Sheffield United single game day. Possibly. And also, just on cheap players as well, just why I remember, Rian Brewster at Sheffield United, stop laughing at the back, right? He's 6.9 million. There could be, if that Sheffield United West Bromwich Albion game does end up on a Friday night, and I think it probably will, by the way, Rian Brewster is an entry point of playing yourselves, West Ham on the Sunday, and then West Brom on the Friday. And it might not be the worst. The only other game we know
hop on hop off.
The only other Sunday game we know at the moment that's definitely going in there is Leeds against Arsenal, which is a difficult one to call, I think. And it might be that Brewster, genuinely, he could be really interesting. We would never consider a forward at that price, would we? 6.9?
No.
But what if you get him in for them two games and does well? Yeah, and they improve.
Could
played 90 minutes against Man City. Don't rule that out as a cheap way of going either. The problem with that one, unlike when we've talked about going to the Bamfords and Che Adams, this one feels too cheap. Like, to get away from that, you're going to have to go back to a Lamptey or Conor Gallagher or something like that.
Yeah. Interesting thoughts there for everybody. Don't forget you've got a Friday deadline this week with matches and what have you. Do sort yourselves out with your Ings and Pulisic and Antonio problems as best you possibly can. Good luck with this game week. Ciao for now.
Thanks, everyone. Cue music, please, man. Ciao.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.